Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 20th, 2012. I have a question for you. What did you eat for lunch on January the 3rd of this year? Do you remember? Do you remember where you were? Were you at work or at home or at a restaurant? Was it a hot plate, leftovers, a salad? A cold-cut sandwich? Do you remember what you had for lunch on January 3rd? Now, what kind of question is that? Well, chances are, even though you may not remember your exact menu, if you live in the United States, you're listening to my voice, you may not remember what you ate, but you know you were fed. We live in a country that abounds with foodstuff. Now, there's plenty of debate about the nutritional value of some of that foodstuff, but that's not the subject of today's diary. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we have buried in the 11th chapter a treasure. The treasure is that it is these verses in this passage of Scripture contains the first written account of Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. Because 1 Corinthians was written ahead of any of the four Gospels. 1 Corinthians probably written somewhere between 50 and 65 in the Common Era. And the earliest Gospel is Mark, probably written sometime shortly after 70 in the Common Era. At any rate, here is the passage of Scripture. Paul writes, "I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also, after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" For century after century, the church has gathered, the believers in Jesus, those who follow his way. They've gathered in caverns and tunnels, in huts and caves, from big, giant cathedrals to small hovels, on windswept beaches, on mountain heights, and in every place in between. Christians have gathered, and with a loaf of bread and a cup of wine, Christians have recited these words, what we call in the church the words of institution. We have recited these words, and we have participated in this most holy of meals. It's not much to look at, really. A bite of bread, and a sip of wine. It is even hard for us to understand or make sense sometimes what it is that we're doing when we are participating. Sometimes it doesn't feel like much. Sometimes we go through the motions, we receive it, and we move on with our day. Other times, and we're not quite sure why, we are overcome with emotion as the bread is put in our hands, or the chalice comes to our lips. Oftentimes, we bring to the table with us our cares, our burdens, our joys, our sorrows, our hurts, our anxieties, our sufferings, our sickness. We bring it all, week in and week out, month in and month out, year upon year. And at some point, we can vaguely distinguish one Sunday from another. It seems like it all runs together. And what holds it together are the prayers, the community gathered, the bread, and the wine. We may not remember every Sunday at church. We may not remember every time we've gathered around the Lord's holy table. Sometimes we may have been there physically present and our minds a million miles away. But in the end, after all of those Sundays, and after all of those years, and after all of the life that has been lived, we may not remember specifics, but somehow deep in our heart and soul, we know that we have been fed. Let us pray. O God, with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Quench our thirst with living water, and flood our darkened minds with heavenly light. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Until tomorrow, may the peace of the Lord be with you.